Radio 65 of the Sens Underground Network. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 20 of the Sens Call-Ups for Tuesday, February 11th, 2014. I'm Cardinal, your host, and Canuck, Pan, and I are back to talk about the Senators and the NHL season that's now on hold for a few weeks thanks to the 2014 Olympic Winter Games in Sochi. Basically, we're back to tell you we won't be back again until March, but we have a few things to say before we take our Olympic break. As always, we welcome your email to podcast@senscallups.com. You can find us on Twitter and in the online forums. Canuck, welcome back to Canada.
Yeah, I'm hopped up on Belgian chocolate.
Oh, it's going to be one of those nights. Okay, good.
Actually, no, I'm actually pretty dang tired.
I was going to say, what time is it for you?
It's like it's 4 a.m.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know what it is.
Just stayed over for the Olympics.
No.
Close enough, right? Belgium, Russia, same thing.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Just next door.
That's just like, oh, yeah, St. John's, Victoria. They're same country. How far apart can they be?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Pan, how are you?
Not bad.
Car's good?
Car's good.
Okay, good.
Twitter's a little low now because I got in trouble at work with my phone.
Oh. Won't talk about that.
Yeah. Well, I actually played her the sound clips of you giving me crap about the phone. It's like, see, it's not just you. I have an issue.
Mm.
See, so yeah, I'll be tweeting a lot.
You have sound clips of me giving you crap. You
I could find them in the show. I was like, oh.
That's frightening.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Put your phone down. Like that?
Yeah. Put your phone away.
That sounds like something I would say. Yeah. That's something I have said. Fair enough.
It's multiple times.
Oh, dear. Well, then. Let's get going. We got lots to talk about. Let's get through the stuff we don't want to talk about and get to the stuff we do.
So many game recaps.
Exactly.
So. I didn't see these games.
Oh, well. You'll hear about them now.
All right. All merged together. Game on!
Game 54 was Thursday, January 30th. It was the Lightning versus the Senators. Our game recaps this week are going to be pretty quick because there are a lot of them and we want to get through them. We have lots of other things to talk about. So this one, very quickly, this was the Lightning at the Senators. It was a 5-3 win.
What?
This was the game that had a couple of things happen in it early that were interesting.
You take the good, you take the bad, and the
The facts of the life.
Facts of, yeah, okay. I don't remember the words. It's win,
you
loss,
do the
win,
hokey
loss.
Pokey, and you do. Oh,
we're going to have a little sing along, are we?
All right. Yeah, we can
do
that after.
We'll do that later on. At the 1 minute 49 second mark of the first period, Ben Bishop came way out of his crease to try and poke check Mark Methot, and he got caught with a teammate's skate in the head.
Yes, that was true.
And he was out of that game, but Methot scored his fifth goal of the year.
I don't remember if I was having fun with Alex at this game.
I don't know.
Well, I love Senators DJ.
Okay. Well, actually, I have comments about him later on, too, for sure. So the game's not even 2 minutes old, and Ottawa's in the lead, and we've chased the starting... Well, actually, starting goalie chased himself by getting hit in the head with his own teammate's skate.
Is he trying to sell that, you think?
Yeah, whatever, Carson.
Whatever. No, I don't think so. I don't think you fake something like that.
Starting goalie doesn't fake that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And then leave the game, and then the next game.
Exactly. He was back in for the next game in Montreal.
Was he?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
He was practicing. Then he was out again. Yeah, it was.
Lindholm also got hurt.
Yeah. Well, it was messy.
You might be touching on that, but backhand shot pretty much had a heart attack.
Yes, it was a difficult evening for her, I believe, on that one. At the end of the first period, there was another interesting moment. That was at the 1936 mark. That was the Carlson goal from an absolutely unbelievable angle along the goal line. How he managed it was a beautiful pass from Spezza. Carlson was trailing, and it was just in.
Is this the water bottle shot?
No, that's a Buffalo game.
Different game.
He was behind the goal line.
Yeah.
On the right side, and he's a right-hand shot.
Yep.
Somehow still got it in the net.
And it was Mlamnikolic who made a tape-to-tape pass to Spezza that was 100 feet long. Spezza set up Carlson, and it was in the net. And it was an unbelievable goal with 25 seconds left in the period.
So Mikolic, that's a guy that's supposed to be the grinder that's in front of the net. passes it to the playmaker, who passes it to the defenseman.
Who's streaking up.
No.
Yeah. It worked. It worked.
Sounds typical. Worked.
And in the intermission, right after this outstanding goal.
Textbook.
What happened?
Don't remember.
They go straight to Sportsnet discussion about Nazem Kadri. Right away. Literally. Okay, we're back in Toronto and we have to talk about Nazem Kadri.
Get used to this, boys.
Yeah.
No. Well, you know what? They actually just changed their morning show.
Yeah.
No more Hazel May, thank God.
No, but it's a former TSN guy who's on their morning show now.
Yeah, Cebulski.
James Cebulski. Yeah, that surprised
another
me.
Another lady who I don't.
I don't know who she is. I don't know who she is. But yeah.
As long as it's not Hazel May, I'm fine with that.
I was just. I'm not going to miss this about Sportsnet when the regional broadcasts go to TSN, is the incredibly Toronto-centric nature of everything Sportsnet. TSN at least has a modicum of representation from the rest of the country. Sportsnet doesn't. It's all Toronto, except when we're broadcasting from somewhere else.
Wasn't that a great shot by Carlson? Now, another news. I saw Dion fill up his gas today at the SO.
Oh, my God.
I honestly can't believe that they were actually reporting that Kessel had the flu.
Yeah. Who cares?
I thought people were kidding about that.
No. Well, that's Toronto. Well, they broadcast their radio shows on TV.
Was this a one Kleenex flu or a two Kleenex flu? Or how was he feeling?
I think it was a half box. And he needed NyQuil. Anyway, in other news, let's get back to this game recap because it's going on way too long right now.
Pray for Kessel.
The second... maybe. I don't think that's... No, I'm not even going to go there. Third... second period was... there were several goals scored. There was a Tampa Bay goal at 3:10 after really bad back-checking by all the forwards. It was... bad. It was just bad. You know, these things happen. But Ottawa scored two goals later on in the period. Zach Smith got his 10th of the year at 6:25, and Turris got his 17th of the season at 18:40.
The scores now?
The score would now be 4-1.
Oh, so it's a lock, right?
Pretty much. Wait. Wait. The Turris goal, this was where, this was the play that Ryan made this brilliant pass over to him. He got the first assist and then crashed heavily in the boards.
Yep. Okay.
Right. And right after the goal, there was no celebration because all the players went over to check on Bobby Ryan. They weren't worried about celebrating the fact that they just scored the fourth goal. They were checking on their teammate, which I thought was very, very cool.
You sure they weren't on Twitter dumping on Ryan?
No. Twitter doesn't dump on Ryan. Well, some people on Twitter do.
I thought they were breaking out into song there.
Cyclical.
Well, they dump on everybody. They don't praise anybody, but they dump on lots of people. So it's 4-1 after two.
All right.
There we go.
Automatic win, right?
Should be.
Did Phillips score?
Phillips was not in this game. He was injured. Oh. Third period. This is where it got ugly. Ottawa scored at 6:55 to make it 5-1. Therefore, you think, okay, lock, stock, and barrel. The game is over. It's done with. It's finished. Put it to bed. And they'll play this sound clip for Penn because it's all lit up. Until... the Senators figured, I guess, they forgot they were playing one of the top teams in the conference. They figured, we got a 5-1 lead. We're playing Buffalo now. And then Tampa Bay scores at 12:54. And then Tampa Bay scores at 17:08. And almost scores again in the 18-19 minute area.
What?
Because they just kind of stopped playing. Anderson made six amazing saves in the last 4 minutes of the game to preserve the 5-3 win.
What? Do you want him to save the wide ones too?
I want him to save the ones that... I want goalies to stop the pucks that are going towards the net.
There's a pull, eh? Remember that one? Up yours, Barrasso.
Great game, but the ending was far more tense than it should have been. The interesting stat in this game was faceoffs, Tampa Bay 22, Ottawa 37. Zach Smith was 83%, Spezza was 65% in the dot. And that's the end of that game.
You did it.
Next game.
Next!
Game 55 was Saturday, February 1st. The Senators were in Toronto. It was a 7 o'clock game on HNIC. And we have CB Inc. has a recap of this game for us.
This is CB Inc. reporting deep behind enemy lines, south of 4-1. Let's get talking about the game last Saturday night against the Leafs. Anderson was in net, Bernier was in net for the Leafs. This was Paul Dvorsky's 1,500th game as a referee, and both teams gave him an autographed stick signed by everyone. Early on, Kessel breaks a stick on Greiba, and it looked like Greiba was going to get the penalty, but then both of them were sent off for 2 minutes. We have a quick 4-on-4, and not much happens for 2 minutes. Bobby Ryan looked good for this period, making some plays and being in the right spot at the right time. Conacher gets a tripping penalty on Kadri, and then Conacher's right back in again 2.5 minutes later for slashing. Chris Neal gets his 7th of the year, opens up the scoring. We got 1-0 score there for the Sens. And then Carlson gets a hooking penalty that carries over to the second. So we go 1-0 into the second. Little Miss CB Inc. liked the first period. She was quite happy with that. In the second period, we have a nice fight with Clement and Cassian. Then both are sent off for 5 minutes. Greening gets a nice goal from Neal. Neal gets a goal from a nice 2-on-1. Carlson gets a great shot on net and dings it off the post. Ugh. Kessel scores with 7 minutes left in the second, though, and Anderson got outplayed on that one, and Kessel was left all alone out in front of the net. 2 minutes later, Lupel scores, tying it at 2. Anderson, though, he was busy watching CeCe get boarded by Kadri, and the whole team was waiting for the whistle to blow on that one. But the goal stood. There's no penalty, no call, no anything. Into the third period, at the 13-minute mark, Kessel gets a power play goal, making it 3-2. And I think Anderson had no chance on that one. He was completely screened. Don't think he could see anything on that. Chris Neal gets his 2nd of the night, tying it again at 3. We have to wait a bit for the review on that one, but that puck crossed the line. Then Kessel scores his 3rd of the night on a bad giveaway from Greiba. But just before that, if Anderson didn't play it, I think it would have been an icing call and back in the Leafs' end. 4-3 Leafs. Mikalik looked good in the 3rd on this one. He had some nice chances. And then Tyler Bozak gets one past Anderson, making it 5-3 for the Leafs. And he was left all alone in front of the net. Cody Ceci was watching the play and not the open man skating around. And then just to finish it off, number 43 gets an empty net goal. Final score, 6-3 for those who shall not be named. A couple of notes is that both Spezza and Bobby Ryan were a -3 on the night. And Anderson, I think he looked okay despite the score. He should have stopped that Lupel goal, though, when CeCe got hit from behind. I think his positioning all night was right, and I think he's slowly returning to his old self from last year. I was going to go to the Red Scarf Union meetup, but I decided I was going to watch this game instead and do the recap for the podcast. But I'm going to make it to one soon, and I'll be happy to tell you all about it. And the team that shall not be named still sucks.
Thanks, CB Inc.
That's, does he ever sound dejected or what?
That was awful to watch.
I have
to. You weren't around. I watched
I saw it.
Did you see it?
I saw this one.
I was at a friend's 50th birthday party. So
angry.
I was getting game updates on my phone, so I didn't watch
it. No, it was really exciting to watch right up until the Kadri hit from behind, and then I knew what was going to happen.
Yep.
I knew what was going to happen at that point.
Wait, who?
Kadri.
Player 43. Who?
Number 43?
Player 43.
Oh, player 43.
That's how the Polaris referred to him post-game, was it not?
Yeah.
Player 43. Player 43.
Hit fantastic.
Hit CC.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, Anderson.
That was the point where I went.
It's over.
Kind of like,
what?
Are you kidding me?
Yep. And then the team kind of imploded a bit there because Anderson's blaming the cover for leaving Lupel out alone. It's like, well, you know why? It's because Smith left to go punch the crap out of 43.
95 times out of 100 or higher, that is a penalty.
Oh, like, at least.
It's not even questionable.
Nope. Yep. And if it's not a penalty, it would be certainly reviewed and assessed some sort of supplemental discipline.
Well, forgetting that, like as soon as I saw it, it was like, even myself, I just stopped looking at the puck. I was like watching him like, you've got to be kidding me. And sure enough, puck goes in.
Yep. I don't think it was suspension worthy.
Okay, I didn't see it.
It's penalty worthy. Maybe a 5 minute, but because CeCe just popped up.
Yeah, he should have stayed down.
Yeah, CeCe stayed down and sold it.
I love just like, how do you feel? It's like, well, I don't know. I'm a little tired. Oh, and sore. I'm sore.
Yeah. Well, he's 20, right? He's made a kryptonite.
He's trying to play the game.
Yeah, he's made a kryptonite.
But once again, and I know I talked about this last episode, I think it was. If CeCe's a puck carrier, why isn't the ref watching him?
Well, why isn't one of the refs watching him?
They were watching him. He was right there in the corner.
He was 16 feet away.
How do you miss that? Or
blue just, jersey.
Because it went in the net so fast that he decided to make sure he called it a goal. He got caught in the moment and
it happened first.
Oh, I know. Mm. He's just chicken.
Mm. Blue jersey.
Glenn Healy was the best in this, by the way. And you didn't hear this and you might blow right up.
Oh.
So the goal happens. I think whoever else talks about Jim Houston probably talked about the hit.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Healy just turns around or comes back with, yeah, that's payback for Alfredson on Tucker.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
That's when I got in trouble for cussing.
Well, you see. Well,
now it's even. That's what they're saying. There's no point. They can't complain about Alfredson on Tucker anymore because they got their back.
Well, you see, I didn't actually hear him say that, but I used that comment having not even seen the hit because I was... there were a couple of Leaf fans in around, and I said, well, if you think that hit was okay, this was a couple of days later. I said, if you think that hit was okay, then you must think that the hit that Alfie laid on Tucker was okay too. Because mm-hmm. they've been compared for days now, so you must think it was okay, right?
No, oh, that was a dirty hit.
I said, well, then where's the difference?
Yeah.
Well, it was part of the game. The game was there. The puck was there.
Snappy, 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 snappy,
blown.
Yeah, blown call, and get the freaking cameras on the refs so you can review these things. And
well, we
not a suspendable play.
We'll be okay. I'll take your word for that. I haven't looked at it a lot. I saw it once or twice and went, all right. Yeah. We'll talk about refereeing later on because we have a couple of email about
1500th
that.
Game. Remember last week when we were talking about the guy that only refed six games and kind of blew it?
On CC too, as well.
It's 1,500 games later. They don't get much better.
Well, apparently not. The one thing I wanted to add about this game was this was the game after which there were quite a number of Leafers who were going after Cody CC's mom on Twitter, saying, please thank your son for the assist on Lupul's goal.
Yep. That was pension plan puppets, too.
They started it, yeah, but a whole bunch of others piled on after that.
220,000 followers.
Yeah, a bunch of others piled on afterwards. That's classy. Classy.
They pay all down his mom?
Yeah! Easy now.
Leafs
typical. Leafs typical.
Just dirty.
Let's just go on from there.
I don't always troll, but when I do, I troll in style.
That's not style. You trolled in blue and white. I'll give you that.
You know what? This game was extremely frustrating, and that definitely was the turning point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I'll give you this. It was 3-3. The Neil... Talk about Chris Neal lighting it up.
He had a hell of a game.
It was 3-3. There's like minutes to go in the game. It was tied. Greiba made a mistake. Greiba?
I don't remember.
Greiba made the mistake. That was the game. Yeah, they went on and it was like 6-3 final.
Your momentum
empty
totally
net goals,
changed.
But that was it. That was it. And you know what? It was a close game until then. And something was going to happen. At this point, I didn't think the Sens were going to win. But even when it was tied 3-3, I thought this is just whoever makes the first mistake.
Yep.
Sens made the mistake. They lost the game.
Even at that, I think the Sens would be screwed.
Yeah.
Toronto had all the momentum.
Absolutely.
So this game with the blown call, the Toronto game that Canuck, you and I went together.
Oh, they were blowing calls left. Oh, there. Yeah,
because there was the missed call that turned into the Leaf goal.
That's true. We never even talked about this. Leading up to that missed call on player 43 was first period. Power play for Toronto. Four.
And in a row.
McLean was like going four. And after the Cotter thing, he was going up as five. Like, that's five. It was just, they were doing everything they could to suck the momentum of the Senators because the Senators were taking it to them too.
I don't get it. But
it's like that Pittsburgh series.
Yeah.
It is.
It's like,
it exactly
we're fighting like penalty. Except the difference was that Pittsburgh would always cash in. And that
was
would just
ridiculous.
Suck the momentum out.
But especially with the conference or division, whatever the hell these things are, it's 4 points the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Otto could theoretically miss the playoffs over this.
Could well be. especially because it keeps happening. Anyways, let's get through the rest of the games.
Scratch, yeah.
Touche. Next game was game 56. The Senators were visiting the Penguins. This was a 2-1 overtime loss.
Look at that.
This was actually a what?
Penguins. Speak of the birds. Never mind. Keep going.
Okay. Am I missing something here?
I just talked about the Penguins. I could hear them that time, but I just didn't.
I wasn't picking. Oh, you were just talking about the Penguins. Okay, fair enough. Well, you were talking about a series. I'll figure it out eventually. Anyway, 2-1 loss. DaCosta.
Just, do you know what the secret to comedy is?
You know,
timing.
It's already past 10.
I still haven't got your timing down. We've been doing this for 2 years. I've still not got it down.
No,
sorry.
I got it.
Sometimes I get it. A lot of the times I don't. I admit that one. Let's move on. DaCosta scored his third goal of the season. 14:05 of this game.
I saw that one.
There you go. You saw that one.
DaCosta.
Got one goal.
He was actually playing center this time, but I think he's looking better as a winger than he is when he's playing center. He's doing well as a center.
Yeah, because he'll cross over.
But he's doing really well as a winger. And he's playing so much better now than he was at the beginning of the season. And there's, I have commentary in our Binghamton section about that. Because I have
a couple different opinions. It's not like he'd get any worse.
Easy now. Later on in the first period, jeez, actually just after this.
The blank stares are getting in this room.
Just after the DaCosta goal, Zach Smith takes 2 minutes for boarding Malkin, and a minute and a half after that, Gibbons scores a power play goal to tie the game at 1-1.
Oh, that was a hell of a tip, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah! Apparently,
that's what she said.
Apparently, he ended up just dropping his stick.
Okay.
Crosby being Crosby, stop it. But Crosby being Crosby, I think, saw the opportunity and just...
Anyway, Canucks on a little bye-bye. He'll be back shortly.
He gets it right in the back.
He'll be back. He'll be back shortly.
Yeah, make sure your wife listens to
Smith,
this.
Smith finishes a check on Malkin, and Borzato decides to go with him, and Smith wipes the walls with him, which was good. In the second period, the beginning of the period, there were so many sticks being broken out of, being slashed out of Ottawa players' hands. It was like if they were still made out of wood, you could have a bonfire with all the broken sticks going on. It was really quite pathetic.
There's no wood in them.
There's no wood in them anymore, but if there was, you could have a bonfire. And that's really the... Canuck's gone, so we're just going to keep moving.
Just keep going. I'll be fine.
Exactly right. There were a lot of non-calls in the second period, but that's really all that has... That's all that really matters. Nothing really interesting happened.
You don't want to be late after that.
In the third period, Carlson was robbed by Fleury with an unbelievable glove hand save. To the point where EK just sort of went...
And he went right down on his knees,
yeah,
too.
You got to be kidding me. I can't believe he got that one. That's what she said. And the game goes into overtime. And this is the game where... this is the game where... in overtime, Spezza was trying to get the puck and get out of the zone in overtime, and he didn't quite get on it. The Penguins jump on the giveaway and score the OT winner.
Luckily for Greening, he protected his plus minus.
By changing when the puck was still in our end.
Yeah, I do that on the video game too. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, this isn't going well. Circle.
Good. So we changed off and away we went. Anderson had a .958 save percentage in this game because it was 2 goals on 48 shots.
Because when it's going in, sometimes you want to get out.
That's what she said. And Greiba and Mathot, I think this was the first game that they were paired as the shutdown pairing, and they looked really good. They played very well.
Do you want to talk about what looked really bad? I'll get that in my games.
Okay. Well.
Oh, man, that was a hard game recap.
Game 57 was Tuesday, February 4th. The Senators were in St. Louis to play the Blues, and Pan has the game recap for this one.
Well, I'm just putting a note here. Yay! Sens at Blues, 5-4 shootout win. Game starts, Blues are angry at Smith from the previous game as he apparently hits Steen in the head, which caused him to miss 11 games. Nothing was noticed that night, so the Blues wanted vengeance. I think that head damage was really caused by Steen being a former Leaf, though. Smith line starts with which infuriates the Blues. Also infuriates me, but that's for other reasons. Blues were extremely rough that night, and the first started feeding it to Smith. But once they realized that that wouldn't do anything, they started to hammer on Turris. Good thing that the refs grabbed control of this game. Oh, wait. They didn't.
Ref, you suck!
Score was 3-1 by the Blues through two periods. Beauty spinorama pass by Spezza on the Carlson goal. Milo Turris and Spezza score within 2.5 minutes. Leopold ties it on a weak goal, and then we head off to OT. Nothing happens in the OT, but the Sens do have to kill off a 4-on-3 with the MacArthur penalty.
Sens typical.
Sens typical, of course. Granted, it's better than being down 4-on-4.
I was going to say they play better 4-on-3 than 4-on-4.
It's unbelievable.
It's weird.
It's unbelievable. And in the shootout, Sens put out Zibad, Spezza, and Dacko, even though Turris had a very strong game. Oshie and Steen score, and Dacko has a score to keep them in the game, and he does. Dacko! Nice! Now get off my team! In extras, Milo misses. Then after me freaking out on Twitter, Turris finally steps up to win the game. Sens were well managed in this game by McLean telling them to ignore the other team, which seemed to rile up the Blues even more. The Sens had 7 penalties in a row. 7.
Nice.
Ottawa had 1 power play in the whole game. The holding call on Derek Roy on Mathot, which they argued about, even Carey Fraser wasn't happy with this game.
No, he wasn't. That was the one he wrote the article about, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a beautiful article.
It was well written.
So the only thing that the refs did right was I think the tough guy went out to take the face off against Smith, and the ref waved him out.
Because he's a winger. They decided to put the winger in.
I think it was a defenseman. I don't know who it was.
Yeah, you had to wave him out. I remember
but
that.
But he waved him out.
Yeah.
Remember what I said about the Vancouver game?
No.
When the tough guy came in to take the face off, the ref should have waved him out.
Oh, yes.
Called the 2 penalties, and then that would have stopped everything?
Maybe.
No. But no, let them play. Blues are a really good team. This was a hell of a game.
It was an excellent game. But that means we've beaten them twice this year.
Yeah, we've played well against them.
Mm-hmm. 3 out of 4. Well, we've had 4 out of 4 points. They had 1.
It doesn't matter because it's East-West.
It's all right.
Yep.
If we're beating a team like that, then we should be beating teams in the East that we're not. So that's why I at least have some hope for the rest of the season.
At least decimate some of these other teams.
Yeah.
Sabres at Sens. 3-2 win. Sens just absolutely dominated this game. I think the Sens were dominating the shots a couple of times in this game too, but the Sabres are just a really, really bad team right now. Enroth stood on his head. Carlson opened up the scoring with a beautiful one-timer from DaCosta. Blows a water bottle. Sweet pass there. Now get off my team! McCulloch bookends 2 Sabres goals. First at the 10-second mark of the third, and last with 20 seconds left. Mick Berger goal. And granted, I forgot about it and threw out my ticket.
you did it!
Well played, sir. Well played.
And the Sabres missed out on the point again.
Oops.
Only other real note that I had for this game was watching. I was really paying attention to Cowan in this game. He's struggling. Gets beat in the corners with the puck battles. Big players run him over and overpower him. Small players take it away from him with their stick checking, and he has trouble clearing the zone.
Sophomore slump.
Third year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Last year doesn't count.
I honestly thought he was better last year. One thing is that he settled down after throwing a big hit.
I think he almost needs to do that. Like, he needs some sort of physical encounter to get him kind of into the game.
He's not beating them with the stick work.
But he's also probably afraid of throwing those big hits. He's already been suspended once this year.
Oh, you got to work on that yourself. Can't get worse. He really can't get worse, can he?
Oh, he can get a lot worse.
Yeah, Cards Boston game.
Oh, so you're done? Over to me? Okay.
I think that'd be a good segue to the Boston.
This game I actually had a chance of of seeing. I think it was like 9 o'clock or something at night for me.
Oh,
afternoon game for you guys.
Afternoon game for us.
I could grab a stream and watch this thing.
Yeah, my game summary is this. It was a bad game from every player on the team, possibly with the exception of McCulloch. He played not bad.
What about the refs?
The end. I'm not even commenting on them.
I didn't really have a problem about the refs.
It was just a bad game. Just a bad game.
Cowan was on for 6 goals. And he probably played like 25 minutes. What happens when Carlson has a bad game?
Benched.
Yep.
For a period of minutes.
Zibanejad, Conacher?
Sent down.
Or benched. DaCosta? Remember, I think he got the 2 goals and then got benched in the third. Or didn't play at all. Very, very little. Granted, my opinion on that was that he was going to get traded, then something fell apart. Because after that game was the day that Murray said that he had a top 6 winger or a deal for it, and then it fell through. I think they just called down to stop playing him.
Playing who?
DaCosta.
Oh.
But anyways. So Zibanejad, Conacher, Bobby Ryan, when Bobby Ryan has a bad game?
Bench him.
Cowan?
Play him.
Yep. Why?
Because he doesn't want to break up the Kreiba Mathot shutdown pairing.
It's
who like are you going to put in?
5-1. Just shake it up.
Who are you going to put? What? So you're going to put in who?
Lost.
So who are you going to put in?
Swap him with Mathot. The game could not get worse.
I bet it back on D.
That'll work.
Oh yeah, thanks.
I don't disagree with Mathot going back with Carlson. I would like to see that pairing. But
when the game's out of reach like that, just...
But what's the point? If the game's out of reach, why do it?
Because I'm pretty sure that Cowan was crying in puddles during the intermissions.
But, okay, but you're not
going to... Why is he the one that gets exempted from it?
Because he needs to... I guess the coach feels he needs to keep playing. The only way to build up his confidence is to keep playing. You sit him on a bench, it'll be worse. I don't know.
How'd that work for Patrick Roy in Montreal?
Well, he got traded, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, oh, that he's one getting with lit cup.
Up. Let's keep him up. Let's
well, keep that's him out there. Well. You could ask Anderson that question about this Boston game then.
Yeah.
Because he shouldn't have been out to start the third period, but he was. He started the third period.
I don't think that he did.
He
bad.
Started and then he pulled him. Well, it should have been a mercy pull earlier, like when Leonard was when pulled Leonard, a few games
but
earlier.
Leonard had a bad game.
True.
I don't think Anderson played that badly. In this
he
one.
Didn't, but it was also 5-1.
Yeah.
It was 5-1.
He was frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
But
the bottom line is I don't disagree with the concept of what you're saying, but I think the reason that the pairings are the way they are is because he wants to have an experienced player in each pairing. And if you take.
So between Carlson and Cowan, which one's the experienced?
Carlson's played 300 games.
Okay.
Okay. Between Mathot and Greiba, how many has Mathot played? 380.
Oh my God.
And what was the third pairing in that game?
Weirkosh and CC,
who have between them,
but
50?
How are they? Yeah, I know. But how are they better?
They're not. That's the point.
Unless they're just not going up.
They're playing 11, 12 minutes a game.
I don't know. It's
so you're going to give them the time if you're taking the time away from Cowan.
But he didn't.
So I don't. I think it's a mess. I'm not disagreeing with you. I think the coach was stuck between a rock and a hard place as to where do you go.
Right, but 26 players, and then that's the one that you manage differently. It's just weird.
Hard to say. One quick thing I want to talk about from the regional game broadcast announcement from like it'd be 2 weeks ago now from our last episode, because it. Didn't really make it into my notes in time for the last episode because that happened on the day of. And this was just something funny that was pointed out afterwards that I thought was really cool. Eugene Melnyk sent a very funny tweet that very few people picked up on. And he sent it to, it was actually in reply to James Duthie. And the tweet read, small print clause, fold up cot at Burt's Bar in Barbados, available 24/7 to TSN staff. I changed the clause at the last moment. Which I thought was really fun. Like, you know, it's a lighthearted moment from the owner of the team.
Have him up in New Year.
But it just, I thought it was kind of funny that he did that. And I was kind of disappointed that nobody picked up on it.
That's
I think it only got like.
He's rolling in all his money.
That's okay. I thought it was funny. That was funny. Anyway, a couple of things to talk about just with the team overall. And I mean, we were just talking about the defense, and I think we can talk a little bit more about that. The blue line overall, we talked about a bunch of this already. I really think I think Cowan is struggling, and you know who he reminds me of? Zdeno Chara. Do you remember how bad Zdeno Chara was when he first came to this team? Or more specifically, how bad he was when he was still in the Islanders? Horrible.
No, I think everyone in the Islanders is bad.
But he was horrible because he hadn't found the style to play that fit his size and his abilities.
Who did he play with in those years?
He started with Redden, didn't he?
I don't think he started with him, did he?
Well, he ended up with Redden.
Volchenkov would have been up with him.
Unless not to start.
I don't think he was top pairing. I honestly don't think he was top pairing.
No, that's what I mean.
I don't.
He was right. Like with a young Redden. I don't remember who he played with before that. I honestly don't.
So you're saying that this franchise is going to be choosing between like
Cowan or Carlson. No. It's not going to be Cowan or Carlson. But that's who Cowan reminds me of. Kay. He's a big player who's trying to figure out how to play the game that works for him.
Great. So do that on the second pairing.
But if you'd put that, who's you going to put him with him on the second pairing? If you're going to put Mathot with Carlson, who are you going to put with Cowan on the second pairing?
With Weirkosh. Worked last year, kind of. We just need Phillips back.
Say that again for posterity.
We need Phillips back.
I agree.
At $2 million a year.
I'm okay with Phillips back at $3 million. That's fine. I agree.
Now with the new TV deal, I don't care.
I think Phillips and
not
Cowan.
Not four, but yeah.
Phillips and Cowan could be effective, but the problem with that is I really like the way Phillips and CeCe were playing together. I thought that was a very effective pairing.
I don't think CeCe's done badly.
No, I don't, but he's not
but
getting...
Just get me Mathot back with Carlson and that's enough of this.
The problem is that CeCe isn't getting... I don't think CeCe's getting the ice time now because he's playing with Weirkosh and not with Phillips, which is why Cowan and Carlson are getting so many minutes.
Greiba's played very well.
He and Mathot have been amazing. They've been a great shutdown pair. Greiba's
stepped up.
Very effective.
Really stepped up. I think CeCe would be okay with Greiba because Greiba will know... Greiba will know to
he'll grab her.
Hold back.
Yes.
Yeah.
You sound like Potvin there.
Yeah.
Cowan.
And Greiba. But one thing, like, Cowan cannot play with a guy like Carlson. Just for whatever reason, Cowan continues to choose to pinch. And when you're really playing with three wingers and a center,
I think I've,
you're not doing it right.
I think I know what his problem is. Is whoever he's paired with, he plays their style.
So he's saying rush up the ice, so he goes to rush up the ice.
He's watching Carlson and he's going, I should be playing that way. I don't think it's a conscious decision. I think it's a subconscious thing. Oh, that's what I should be doing because he's doing it. But if he's playing with a shutdown guy,
he's fine.
He's playing a more defensive, stay at home, be defensively conscious style. So maybe he and Greiba would be a good pairing. Switch him with Mathot. I'd be all over that. Phillips back with CeCe. That's great.
Trade Weirkosh.
Weirkosh, bye-bye.
You're married to Joe Corvo?
Vaguely. But who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. But these things are all these incredibly ongoing moving parts. I'm not really sure where it's going
to
go.
We need to move some of these guys out.
Yes. Well, I think once the Olympics are over, I think we're going to see a rash of trades, yep. A rash of them. Hopefully something will be useful.
I guess we'll be itching to see those rash of trades.
You did it. Congratulations. Now, any other, you want to talk about blue line anymore? Maybe hash that one to death. I think we're all kind of agreeing. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, we never agree.
Exactly. Well, hey, let's bring up another topic while we're at it. Jason Spezza. Been a bit of a polarizing figure lately.
Trade him.
A lot of people are talking about Jason Spezza. A lot of people are saying trade him.
Plus minus is terrible with Carlson when they get paired up.
Yeah, but you should see his Corsi.
Why? What's his Corsi like?
I don't know.
I don't know either. What's his Fenwick like? I don't know.
I know what Fenwick is.
Okay.
Are you going to take out the blocked shots?
Corsi minus blocked shots. So yep. It's only attempts and misses.
Yep. I wikied it. Oh. I did my research.
Okay.
But what's Fenway Close? Fenway Close.
That's people with too much time on their hands.
So what Fenway
Close... And what's the circle? Okay,
don't snap me. That one I don't know. But don't snappy me. Don't. If you really want to create these dumb stats, because Corsi is all your shots on goal, shot attempts, and block shots. Fenwick takes out the block shots because it assumes that most of the time, don't. Most of the time, the block shot is bad because the other team over will add to it.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Going to make my own stat up. Yeah. Which is the pan stat, which is going to be a merge of both of those.
Pan stat. Just one word. P-A-N-S-T-A-T.
Hey, Fenwick is named after a blogger. Why can't this be it?
Well, of course he's named after an assistant. Is that the one?
But that's a coach. That's a goalie coach.
Yeah.
So he's...
An assistant coach.
He knows
Buffalo.
What he's done, yeah.
Buffalo, wasn't it?
Goalie coach, yeah.
Oh, goalie coach. Okay, there you go.
Buffalo's awesome right now, right?
Wow. You can have a terrible team with talented people on it.
So what's the pan stat going to be?
Pan stat is your shots on net, missed shots... And the shots at your team blocks.
I thought it was how many fish sticks you could get in the oil. Anyway. Well, Canuck liked that one. Anyway, let's move on.
Canuck likes everyone.
He's a little tired, so that's okay.
Anyway, so somebody else can build all the spreadsheets for that, but I'm just going to take credit.
There you go. Now, Spezza, bit of a polarizing figure. He had that ugly missed clearing attempt in the game against Pittsburgh, and people dumped on him for it. He came back and had two very strong games after that. And I wanted to point out something. I'm basically very tired of people dumping on Spezza repeatedly. Exactly. Yeah, big surprise. I disagree with a lot of people.
Yeah, I know.
It's true. I admit it. And people were saying, "Oh, we don't need Spets anymore. We have Turris," which is, you know, they both have a good number of points. Absolutely. I wanted to point out a few things. Yes, Spets's plus minus is worse than Turris by a fairly wide margin. However, there are a couple of things to keep in mind in this.
He plays with McCulloch.
Well, let's look at the quality of wingers he plays with. Exactly, the two best on the team are playing with Turris. Now we didn't.
Yeah, but that's because they couldn't play with Spezza. Ryan couldn't.
They couldn't at the beginning of the season, and they've never been tried since then. But be that as it may, this time last year, Spezza was out, and Turris was playing with basically who Spezza is playing with now, McCulloch and somebody else.
And it didn't go well.
Exactly right. It went terribly. So you put Turris in a situation with less than primo wingers, and he struggles. You put Spezza in the same situation, and he struggles too. So comparing the two of them this year is an unfair comparison.
So get better wingers.
That's true. Now, add to this, which one of them has more points right now?
It's got to be Spezza.
By one. Who's played more games?
Turris.
Exactly. With top quality wingers, he's played more games and he has one fewer point. So to say that Spezza is, you know, not needed anymore and he's no good on this team and he's a liability and everything else,
He's 30 years old. We've known this for 12 years.
He's exactly what we expect him to be. He's a point-a-game player who's he's in the top 30 centers in the league. Period.
Who are you preaching to?
Well,
Twitterverse.
Okay. Only that. People who want to trade him, you're not going to get a point a game for him.
You're going to get very little for him. And you're going to be taking crap in return.
And he's got a no trade. Mm-hmm. And even though his cap hit is 7, he's making 5 this year and 4 next year.
He's very, very attractive to the cap.
Deal with it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Absolutely. It makes me see red and not in a be red, see red kind of way. With the amount
sea of red,
sea of red.
It just
new hashtag
crimson tide. Yes. Oops, thank you for laughing at that. I'm just so sick of the Twitterverse crapping on him at absolutely every opportunity because it's not in the least bit objective, and that's what's really driving me insane.
The issue that I have is the team needs to decide what they want to do with Spezza. I guess they're going to figure this out over the summer.
They've already decided
what do you do with Spezza?
Give him the captaincy.
No, but for even money, it's fine. But if you've got Spets around for, let's say, another 4 years, and Tourist is a great discount guy,
mm-hmm.
such a great contract for the team, what do you do with Zibanejad?
Put him as a winger.
That's what I think.
He
Everyone wants him to be the center.
He can be a center.
He can be a second. Yeah, he can be a top two or second line center on any other team. But when you've got Spezza and Turris, you have to develop him as a winger. Then you don't have to go and mortgage the future or give up draft picks to pick up a top six when you've got Zibanejad.
He's around.
Sitting there playing third line. Come on. He's better than that.
Or fourth, depending on how you number them.
And it's I've really liked him with McCulloch and Spezza.
They've looked pretty good together.
Hell of a line.
And Zibanejad's 20? 21?
He's got 2 years left on his entry.
Exactly.
He's 20.
So he wants to play? Great. Here's your opportunity. You're a winger. He will give you some center time for second power play or second penalty kill because he's quite good at a penalty kill.
And don't forget, in a couple of years, we got a freaking laser coming up.
So,
Lazar.
Yeah, no, I know.
But I think that if he wants to play, then he plays on a wing. That's it. And it's working. So,
but the team keeps putting him down at center. Which drives me nuts.
I think they should leave him as a winger and put somebody else at center. Da Costa, Grant, Pajot. You want a fourth line center who wins faceoffs. There are three of them. You can choose between whichever one you want.
Yep.
It works.
Why are we agreeing so much?
Because we're all going on a break, so we're all in a good mood.
I guess.
Or it's all that chocolate that Canuck didn't bring us.
Maybe just that's it. One other thing that I wanted to talk about, and I forgot to mention this during the Leaf game. Cassian finally made his return.
Yes.
In the Leaf game, played $130.
I didn't understand that at all.
And I think it was Da Costa that sat. He's been an offensive juggernaut.
Made the difference in that game, didn't it?
He's been we talked about him earlier. He makes another good winger at the moment. So, yeah,
Costa?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you meant Cassian.
No, he hasn't been playing enough lately to be useful, unfortunately. Because if he's in the lineup, he doesn't get played, which means we don't have four lines anymore. Because all the other people get juggled to be playing on the fourth line.
In an intense game like one against Toronto, you get tired out.
Exactly. It makes no sense. That's something I don't understand.
And then you're not gelling the lines.
But who's going to fight with Fraser McLaren?
Nobody. Nobody. Answer. Next question.
Neil can take him if you really want.
No,
but Cassian went out and picked that one.
I know.
Doesn't need to.
Because he knows he's only going to get a
while Ottawa is up by one.
Yeah. Doesn't need to, so whatever.
The fight that Chris Neal says not to take. Yeah. When you're up by one, leave it.
Zach Smith won't take it either. Same reason. Don't need to. Thank you. Don't need to. So, I agree. Now, I want to talk about Binghamton and prospects for a second. But before we do, if I had told you, I mean, there have been a lot of people getting really kind of dumping on the team about, oh, we're still not in a playoff spot and we're at the Olympic break and the trade deadline's coming up and blah, 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 blah. We're 1 point out of a playoff spot. Mm. Now,
Games in hand, though.
There are a couple of teams that have games in hand, yes, but we are still technically 1 point out of a playoff spot. And if I had told you on December 1st that by the Olympic break, we would be 1 point out of a playoff spot, how happy would you have been? I would have been ecstatic because that's where I expected this team to be this year. I expected this team to be exactly where it is. In fact, I expected them to be about 5 points out of a playoff spot.
That's pretty much what we are, though.
Depending on how those
games in hand go.
Depending on how they go, yes. But we're one. And for me, I'm okay with that. Is it perfect? No. But it's what I expected it to be. So I'm all right with it. Anyway, a couple of quick things about Binghamton. We'll get to the game that you and I were at in just a moment. I had a couple of other things to do.
Let's keep going with that. Buy, sell, or hold?
Buy, sell, with Otto, before we get to Binghamton.
We have
all three.
Buy if it looks beyond the season.
Before the trade deadline. Sorry, go ahead.
Buy if it looks past the season. Don't buy just for the season.
Yes.
Don't rent a player.
No rentals for a pending UFA. Just
pure money. Like, don't give up something to rent.
Yeah, I agree. Other than that, I have no problem with selling a number of different assets for other things that could come in to help us other than this year.
Right.
So
there are so many teams in the hunt.
Mm-hmm. We have assets that they might be looking for.
I would rather sell because we're not winning. We're not coming close to winning this year.
Winning the Stanley Cup? No.
No. And even if we make it in the playoffs, we're going to get swept.
Yeah.
Sell.
If we squeak in, we're playing Pittsburgh Penguins.
McCulloch is playing out of his mind right now.
Yeah.
Out of his mind.
Mm.
He's playing very well.
If he does well during the Olympics,
there might be a market for him.
The guitars are humming a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if the... you might be able to get your first round pick.
Hmm.
First round pick.
McCulloch for a late first round pick. That's a hard one. Would you make that?
No.
McCulloch?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For a late first round pick.
Someone else is going to offer money. Phoenix is going to offer money in the summer.
Yeah. He's not staying around.
He's not.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that.
Something for nothing? Sure.
Hmm. Well, I mean, there are other wingers we could put in his place, like Hoffman or Stone.
Stone's played.
Hoffman, I think, leading scorer in the
AHL. Hoffman hasn't had his chance. Yeah, but it's the AHL.
Well, DaCosta was third. So, hard to say.
Yeah.
Hmm. I would make that trade, Stone's actually. Really, if we could get a late first round pick for McCulloch, I'd make
St.
that trade.
Louis?
St. Louis?
They're a strong team.
How many first-round picks do they have?
How about McCulloch for Yandel, straight up?
Yeah, right.
How many? He's got time left on his contract. But he's not playing much, is he?
Yandel? Who's that? Yandel?
Isn't he one of the odd-man-out defensemen in Phoenix?
Yeah, but that's because the Pittsburgh coach is the U.S. coach. So Brooks Orpik is apparently an Olympian now.
Yeah, well.
And he's better than Paul Martin, too. St. Louis is number two in the league right now.
Well, I know they're number two.
So that'd be a 29th overall. Sorry, 28th overall, because Jersey doesn't get a pick.
Hmm. Assuming the Jersey finished. Well, yeah.
No, Jersey doesn't get one.
That's right. Hmm. Yeah, I'd probably make that. We have enough other players we could put in that spot. Interesting thought. I still think we'll be losing one of, if not both, of Wierkosz or Gryba.
But this is why I think you can sell. Because you can probably get a lot, because there'll be a lot of teams trying to pick up.
Well, we got lots to try and sell. Come on, Mr. Murray. Make a deal. We'll see.
Let's make a deal.
Couple of quick points about Binghamton and prospects before we go on to talk about the rest of the league. Binghamton's 29-15, 1-3. And they had a couple of interesting games since last we got together. On Wednesday night 2 weeks ago, Binghamton had a 6-3 win over Worcester, and Mike Hoffman became the third Binghamton Senator to score four goals in one game. The other two players...
What did he do to celebrate?
No, he didn't do that. Oh. But he had 4 goals and an assist, so he tied a record of 5 points, and Jean-Gabriel Pageau had 4 assists in the same game. The only two other players to ever score 4 goals were Denis Hamel and Grant Patulny. Not to be confused with Ryan Patulny, his brother.
So he's cursed.
Well, no, Denis Hamel was in Binghamton after he got hurt. He's all right.
He's never going to make it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you never know. He also won the fastest skater contest at the AHL All-Star competition, skills competition tonight. At 13.990.
Didn't Ryan Shannon win that for the Senators 1 year?
Maybe Vermette won it, but didn't Greening won it recently, didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought it was kind of fun. I have to give a thank you to, and I'm going to mispronounce a name here. I apologize. I believe it's Johannes Pedersen, who's a fellow on Twitter, who saw that a couple of weeks ago I was trying to find a good link for stats for Marcus Hogberg.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he sent me one. So I wanted to say thank you. I believe it's Johannes. So thank you for that. I looked at his numbers. Numbers are reasonable for a junior goalie. They're not great, but they're reasonable. But they did remind me that he had a shutout in the World Junior Championship. I'd forgotten that.
He played damn well.
He played very well in that game. His numbers are good, not outstanding. He's now playing in the, I believe it's the Allsvenskan League, which is one below Swedish Elite.
Okay.
So, not bad.
And Pelin's got 1 year
left.
That's
one above the IKEA League.
Could be. On February 1st, Binghamton won over Portland 7-1, and Danny Hobbs, had a goal and assist in his debut with Binghamton. He's been sent back down to Elmira.
Yeah, just because the guys came back.
Because the other guys came back, yeah. Exactly. In this game, Binghamton and the Pirates combined for 46 penalties and 224 penalty minutes, including 12 fighting majors. Welcome to the HL.
I want to see that. I was really hoping for a rumble at the game on Saturday.
It was surprisingly well behaved. The game. We'll talk about that game in a second. But the Ottawa, the Binghamton Hamilton game was surprisingly well behaved. I was a bit surprised. A couple other quick things before we get to that. Randy Lee was on the radio last week, and I tried to take some notes because I thought some of the things he had to say were interesting and certainly well-timed for some of the players that have been going on. The conversation started off with talking about DaCosta, and he said he's playing with a lot more confidence now. He had a great camp, made the team, faltered, mm-hmm. and there's an awful lot of competition to be called up. There's a ton of competition to be called up in Binghamton, and everybody's playing really well in Binghamton because everybody wants to be called up. But he has really stepped up, according in Randy Lee's eyes, who is now the GM of Binghamton, mm-hmm. and also in the eyes of Luke Richardson, he has really stepped up his game since the beginning of the year when he was sent down.
His skating's gotten a hell of a lot better.
And I find his situational awareness is better too. Like, he's much more aware of what's going on because he's not hesitating trying to figure out what's happening.
He's not necessarily behind the plane anymore.
Yeah. He's not fast, but he's not lagging anymore.
Hey, TJ. TJ, do you remember that game where he's like, who's player 24?
On Don Volchenkov.
No. Get off my team. But the problem that I had with him at that point was that, because I was in LA, because we ended up hanging out outside with Spezza for a bit. But DaCosta was expected to play on the top line. And it infuriated me because you see Zibanejad down on the farm team going, I know that there's better options.
And best Dacko player's going to play. That's what coach said.
But also Zibanejad had a very bad training camp. He didn't look good in training camp.
Apparently, on the last day, that's what the story was.
I don't think that was it. I think it was his lack of effort.
That
and I think that he's still probably just dogging it a lot, but his talent is better than these other guys with effort.
Yeah. So he Kovalev'd.
Kind of.
He's young.
Randy Lee was asked what's been going right lately to keep Binghamton playing so well, in spite of players who are going up and down pretty much constantly. And he gave a lot of credit to Luke Richardson and Steve Sterling. They're filling the holes in the lineup due to call-ups, due to injury. They have good structure. They have good penalty kill. They have good power play. And I noticed... we'll talk about the game on Saturday in a second because there was specific things I wanted to talk about with their play that really impressed me during that game.
I paid attention.
Well, I was sitting in my favorite seats. I was sitting in the 200s, so I was high enough to be able to watch the whole game but close enough to see the individual pieces of it. I loved sitting there. It was great. The players that he talked about the most were Frederick Claesson and Matt Pumple. That they were the two players who have been, and in his words, the most pleasant surprises.
Good.
Which I thought was not overachieving, but they've been the most pleasant surprises as to how far they have gone and how far they developed and how well they're playing.
Good, because that's where the pumps is going to be DOA.
I was a little concerned because nobody ever talked about him. Mm. They always talked about Nason. They always talked about Zibad, the other two picks in that draft, first round, but...
Well, it could just be Pumple in his tires.
Yeah, give yourself a... Yeah.
Yeah! Nice that you come out for this. Eh?
Here every week.
The one thing that was interesting, which...
Not really.
which surprised me a little bit. They were talking about goaltending just briefly, and he said, this is still Randy Lee... He's very happy with Andrew Hammond. He's a big body who's playing well. And Nate Lawson, who's an NHL vet, good player. And the guy in Elmira, whose name is Greenham, he's playing well as well. But he also said we have three unsigned junior prospects. Dreider, Brassard, Hogberg. None are signed yet.
No. The Canadians have to be there because they came to camp.
They don't have to be signed.
You don't have to sign them when they come to camp?
Don't think so. He said they were unsigned. He's the contract guy.
Okay.
I was a little surprised. Now, I mean, they're juggling a number of contracts. Because there's a time limit when you have to sign them, but they haven't been signed yet.
I think they've got two more years.
Yeah. So they're unsigned. So I thought, oh, okay, that's interesting. Now, and just as an aside, Vincent Dunn just got slapped with his fifth suspension of the season.
Oh, boy. Oh, geez.
I don't know if he's going to be the next Chris Neal because I think he's a little cuckoo.
He might be done.
He might be done.
Yeah!
He's lost 13 games so far this season to five suspensions.
He doesn't get paid.
I don't think he's endearing himself to the team that way, to be honest. I don't think so. Now.
Quebec? No.
Oh? I can't remember where Vincent Dunn's playing, to be honest. I'd have to look it up. I'll look it up while you're reading an email in a few minutes. Right. I'll let you know.
Take a couple minutes for me to read the email.
Binghamton versus Hamilton last Saturday.
That was fun. A lot of the guys from Bingo came up.
Yeah.
Besides the players.
Because the game was here.
Yeah. The game was here. It was fun to meet a couple of them. You met more than I did because they didn't want to talk to me. They didn't want to talk to me. That's
because there's a picture of a bird on the website and people don't know who you are.
That's okay. I don't worry about that.
I know. No, but it was fun. It was nice to put faces to the names and hang out. And we went out after for a little snack.
Sorry I missed that. But I had previous plans for the rest of the evening. But it was fun. It was at
the Kanata Centrum.
Centrum. Close by. It's only 84 kilometers from downtown. special thanks to Alex, Senators DJ, for taking a lot of requests during the game. And that was one of them, yeah. The one thing I wanted to talk about was I was sitting in the 200s and I was able to watch the game. And the thing that really, really impressed me was the structure of the Binghamton game, especially in their own end. The forwards can pass back to a defenseman across and out. It's just one fluid motion. It's really, really well built.
That's what Cowan tries to do, except he forgets he's a defenseman.
Well, it's not something I've seen any of the Senators do so far this year, to be honest.
So do we need Luke up here for a couple of weeks?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well, where's Jason Smith? He's around, but he's on both? Is he back
and
forth?
I don't know what he's doing.
Because I don't know who's coaching the defense in Ottawa, whether it's
doing a
Dave Cameron.
Job.
Is it Dave Cameron? Is it Reeds? I don't know. But
I think it's Reeds.
I would like to see whoever's coaching the defense, the system in Binghamton, come up to Ottawa. Because it was the one thing I noticed was that they were much better at it in the first and third than in the second. I don't know whether the long change had something to do with it or not.
Sure.
But just the way the whole flow of the game worked really good.
I was right behind the Hamilton bench. I was just chirping the whole time.
But it was a very entertaining game. Unfortunately, Binghamton lost in overtime. But it was a very entertaining game to watch. I enjoyed that.
Didn't Bingo go up 3-0?
Yes.
And they blew it.
Sense typical.
Some of the goals were really
fluky.
You're
treating them well.
Yeah. Some of the goals were very, very fluky.
You're going to fit right in.
And a couple of them were on a goalie that was cold because they had to switch goalies after the first period. Because
Lawson got sick or something.
Lawson got sick, yeah. So Hammond had to go in, just in you go. And a couple of them were just a bit of a surprise because he didn't have much of a warm-up, unfortunately.
Bad beaver tails.
Yeah. Anyway, it was still fun. It was a fun game to be at. Now, got to get to a couple of things around the league very quickly. Then we have emails to read. You wanted to talk, I'm pointing at Pan, which listeners can't see. You wanted to talk about the outdoor games. I don't know where you wanted to go with this.
Yeah, so the two in New York during the week for Super Bowl. Did you know that both of those games, the Rangers were the away team?
I knew they were the away team for the Devils game. Huh? What was the other one? Was it Islanders?
Islanders.
Hmm. So,
you know what's interesting about
that? So who gets the revenue from those?
I think they probably split it.
Oh, so they each get a sellout. So,
how do the Devils and the Islanders do to ticket sales?
Well, if the game's in their own building, if it's a Rangers game, it's sold out because all the Rangers fans go over.
That's right. But with the probably
ish.
But, the ballpark's in Harlem.
Yeah, but now you got yourself.
No, it's above Harlem. It's in the Bronx.
The Bronx. Yes.
Which one? Apologies. Oh, the ballpark. Yeah.
The Bronx Bombers.
But if it's a Wednesday night to get out to Long Island.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't see too much going out to Long Island for an Islanders game on a Wednesday.
So this guarantees selling like four games for the Islanders.
Hmm. It works. Yeah. They were well attended.
Yeah, that's all I had. So now you get yourself more guaranteed sellouts at MSG. So you get 41 sellouts at MSG plus another two outdoors.
Good money. Yeah. Good money.
Very smart.
No. Anything else you want to talk about outdoor?
That's
okay. I just want to talk really quickly about the Super Bowl, because you were talking several episodes back about the fact that, what does a hot dog and a Coke Zero cost you?
$9.
$9. Do you know what a beer and a hot dog cost you at the Super Bowl? For this, a 12-ounce draft and a hot dog at the Super Bowl.
30.
29.
Wow. You went over.
I'll bid $1, please. Yeah, 29. Little freaky. Since we're already talking about the Islanders right there, there have been a number of reports that Thomas Vanek has turned down a 7-year, $50 million extension from the Islanders.
How does Garth Snow have a job?
Well,
except for the fact that the Islanders run as a cult.
Yeah, they do. My question is,
they're moving to Brooklyn, though. Things are going to look up for them.
Yeah, they'll be playing
with a giant hole in behind the visitors' goal.
It's a very weird arena. The scoreboard will be over a blue line, but anyway.
I know.
Such a poorly...
But that's going to be a great location.
So now you're going to lose your first round pick, which right now, as I scroll through my papers, the Islanders...
You're in the lottery position.
...are...
Well, you've got to be close to it, I would think. I'm not
26
sure.
In the league.
Okay, so they're out in lottery position.
If the Islanders win the draft, Sabres go first and second.
Yeah. Nice. Tim Murray will like that.
But so you give up a first over the Castle, but you give up the first to get nothing.
Well, yeah, but even more than that, how much does Vanek think he's worth? If he's turning down $50 million over 7 years...
He doesn't want to play there.
So you think it's just that he doesn't want to play for the Islanders? It's not about money?
If you are probably the top UFA in this year, which I'm pretty sure he is, and you're 30...
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to play near New York City?
You don't want to play in New York City?
Oh, I want to play in New York City, but not for the Islanders. I want to win.
Dave?
He got a taste of it with Buffalo when they were good.
Yeah.
He's got all the money in the world and somebody else is going to pay him that.
Minnesota.
What? Why would you not go to free agency?
I agree.
What allegiance do you have to the Islanders?
None. But that's why I didn't understand the trade in the first place.
When you're looking at... Yeah,
it didn't make any sense at all.
I think they were really trying to make the playoffs at the time.
Oh.
And Nabokov got hurt and that just...
They've had a lot of injury, but...
You see how this organization is run, like a cult.
Poorly.
Why would you want to be there?
You're
going to offer me the same freaking deal in the summer. I want to see what everybody else has to offer. Why am I going to lose the advantage of being a free agent? Except if that's been your legacy team, like some of the other guys that have signed, like the San Jose guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, true.
Do you want to stay? Yes. You're going to sign this. I don't know. He's signing too. And if you don't sign now, we might drop the offer in the summer because we're the San Jose Sharks and people want to come here.
True.
Done.
I just found it weird that he would turn down that much money. I mean, there is money out there because the cap's going.
Elsewhere.
I hope so.
He will get it elsewhere.
Then
he's
going
to get at least 6 to 7.
Yeah, Toronto wants him.
We've talked about the
I hope so. Industry. I hope they get him. That could be fun.
Even in UFAs.
Well, them in Philadelphia.
You know, Vanek will do well.
And
don't wish them upon the Leafs.
Last Thursday, just sticking with the Islanders for a second, they traded Pierre-Marc Bouchard and Peter Regan. And what they got back was a 4th-round pick.
Yeah.
Now...
Salary dump.
This... You think?
Yeah.
Because why would Chicago want them?
Depth.
Just depth? I guess they have the cap space.
They've got 10 guys going to the playoffs, to the
Olympics.
Olympics.
Yeah, they might have a few not come back. True. I just thought that was a very strange pick. Two players for a 4th-round pick. Yeah. It's like you couldn't... Garth Snow, you can't negotiate better than that, and I think there's something seriously wrong. Florida. The Florida Panthers have a new ticket program going on. I don't know if you heard about this. You can exchange 10 unwinning, as in... You know, not worth anything, lottery tickets for a ticket to the game.
Or you can dance in a flash mob.
Now, are there such things as $1 scratch tickets in Florida, like there are up here? Because you could exchange 10 non-winning scratch tickets for a ticket to a hockey game.
The other thing that I heard about is that people just rummage through the garbage.
Find unwinning lottery tickets.
And then just bring them in.
Yeah. Maybe you go to a corner store. People are using them all the time. Scratch, not win. Scratch, not win. I'd do that.
The thing with that, though, is have you ever been comped? And don't forget that they own the mall and everything around there. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go down in March. I'm very excited. If they own all of the shopping and everything else around there,
mm-hmm.
and you comp the tickets, have you ever gone to a game for free? Won tickets or anything else like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Besides the times that I bring you?
Yes.
Doctor? Yeah.
You still spend something.
You spend something on food,
you
probably.
You tend to blow it out. Yeah, what's the profit margin on the food?
Huge. But, I mean, that's split with the...
Empty seat?
Profit? Oh, no. I agree.
They're making a marginal amount of money.
I just thought it was... And they don't have quite as empty an arena.
And yes, and you get some exposure.
Exactly.
So people try to have exposure.
Oh.
What is with you tonight?
First also, you get the giggles that are uncontrollable. Now it's just a whole series of bad jokes. I like it.
You also clean up the garage. People are picking up the things off the parking lot.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Ticket. Now... Just before we go into email, there's one other thing I want to talk about.
This is why we just ignore him and keep going.
I haven't read a whole lot of supplemental information on the fact that Letang had a minor stroke last week. Do you have more info on this? There hasn't been a whole lot.
6 weeks.
6 weeks after a minor, I'm doing the air quotes, minor stroke. There's no such thing. You can have a minor dislocation. You can have a minor fracture, but a minor stroke? You have a little bit of bleeding in the brain as opposed to what? A lot? Yeah.
Yeah, who knows?
Scary.
It was very scary, especially at 26.
Especially, and they flew him home. That's what freaked me out.
He got cleared in Phoenix, though.
Okay.
They diagnosed it in Phoenix.
I know. And they said it was okay to fly. That freaks me out.
Charter, low.
Okay, after a concussion, I've flown to Toronto on Porter, and I almost passed out.
Oh.
And that was 6 months after it. And I mean, Porter to Toronto goes up to what, 20?
Yeah.
I had to turn to the lady sitting next to me. I said, if I pass out, it's not as bad as you think. She said, are you okay? No.
Apparently, my buddy that was in the car accident with me, because he got a little bit knocked up with a concussion, very mild concussion.
Uh-oh.
He ended up calling a client three times asking him the same questions.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah.
I can believe that.
Wow.
I've been through
that. Will you buy now? No. Will you buy now?
No. Yeah. How about now? Now? How about now? Yeah, scary. Very scary. Anyway, we have... quite a number of email to get through. Now, some of these go back because we have been on the...
Does your buddy, does he work for Air Duct Cleaning Services?
I don't get it.
Just go on.
Yeah, okay. I get that one. That's good. We have a number of email to get to. Some of them are a little older because we haven't been together in a little while. So some of the subjects go back a little bit, but I wanted to get to all of them because they were all pretty good. Pan, you have the first one. You have two of them. There's a first one and a follow-up.
Oh, is there?
Yes. From Nicholas. I put them all together for you. So it should
from
be
from Nicholas. Subject...
There wasn't one.
There wasn't one. Hey, boys. The Sens game just finished. I think this was the...
Leafs game.
Sens game just finished, and I wanted to email you my anger because I've never been so offended by the refs like this.
Get used to it.
To be honest, the refs have been terrible for a long time. I shouldn't be surprised. Now, I wanted to say a big thank you to you as well. Being from PEI, the last time the Sens got coverage here was when the PEI Senators were here. You have made me a less insane anger hockey fan. Keep up the good work. That Affleck guy. P.S. If this email doesn't make sense, I'm very sorry. I'm really hammered. Sens rule and always Leafs suck. Second email, a few things that I left out. Probably all the content.
Easy. He was hammered.
These things happen.
Did pretty good for being hammered.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm from PEI.
Easy now.
It's just a little slurry because he's drunk. A few things I left out. As much as this game hurts, Neil played a hell of a game. Agreed.
True.
Now, a lot of people have been talking about trades and such. I would love the Sens to add more, but at the right price. If it's selling away our future for temporary problems, then no. Agreed.
Agreed.
One last thing. I have seen the Spets of Hate rise to another level these last couple of weeks. Everyone needs to remember it's his first year wearing the C. Alfredson, it still hurts, first season as a captain, we got eliminated by the Screaming Trees, and his leadership was questioned. But as you guys say, we are really glad Murray doesn't listen to Twitter.
Very true.
We probably would have put Turris out on the shootout a little bit sooner if he did, though.
Yeah, but the shootout worked
pretty
well.
Man, that made me look like a genius. That was great.
Oh, that shootout worked pretty well. Yep. For once.
You're like Don Cherry. Like, now listen up here, kids. I said this here in my last episode.
Yeah. Like, you want to... That's a good Kingston boy there. I tell you what, you want to be playing with that boy there.
Okay, sure. No, I agree, Nicholas. The well, you've covered some of the stuff we've already talked about as far as trades and so on, but I agree that there's an awful lot of hate out there for Spets at the moment. And when Alfredson was first captain, there wasn't a lot of love for him.
Nope.
At all.
No.
At all. His godlike stature came years into his captaincy. Of course, he was still a step up from who he replaced.
Randy Cunningworth?
No. There was a few in between there.
No, there was one in between there.
Yeah. Only one? All right, anyway.
Mark Gandler's awesome.
Awesome. That's not the word I'd use, but all right. Canuck, you have the second one from Homer.
From Homer. If the NHL needed an enema, the tube would go straight into Leaf Nation. No other group on earth has less class than Leaf Nation. CeCe's mom went out for a drive in a freaking snowstorm to calm down. Glenn Healy, trying to rationalize the non-call so the goal still counts? Then when the video replay shows that Neil scored, he sounds dejected. Man, when Rogers takes over the next year, I hope that the enema tube goes directly into Healy. No word yet if the NHL will review that play, but I'm not holding my breath. The NHL rarely, if ever, do anything that would indicate that the officiating of the game was bad. It never happened. Leafs suck. Leafs Nation suck even more. Healy sucks Leaf Nation. Homer.
I think that's every permutation and combination there.
That's a pretty circular argument. I like it. That's good. That's good. I can't help but every time, if the NHL needed an enema, I always go back to Jack Nicholson playing the Joker.
This town needs an enema.
Exactly. I just can't help thinking about that one.
You know, it's going to be interesting. Healy went to Sochi. So he's going to be the color guy for the games there.
Color or in between periods?
Color.
Who's doing the play-by-play? Cuthbert?
I would assume so. Mm. Has to be Cuthbert.
Oh, wait a minute. Cuthbert's CBC is...
Surely.
It's got to be Houston.
That's going to be it.
Because Cuthbert's TSN.
No, Houston's CBC.
Exactly. So it has to be Houston because Houston is... Oh, or CBC is the carrier. Is the official network.
I'm fine with that.
Anything other than Healy.
Hey, by the way, you know Stuntman Stu's doing the rink announcements at the women's hockey?
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think it's great that he's over there doing that.
Good for him.
And he was tweeting out that it was kind of a rush for him to be doing that. Actually, some of his stuff on Twitter has been pretty hilarious since he got over there.
I'm just wondering what it's going to be like listening to Healy when he's being an absolute homer to my team. And how is he going to react if Kessel does something dumb?
Mm. Yeah, if Kessel gets owned, what's he going to do?
Implode?
Oh, that could be fun. That could be fun. I have the next email from Ivan. The subject is Make Me Believe Again.
I believe! Yeah.
Thank you, Nikki.
I believe in the power of you and I.
Yeah, it's kind of nice not hearing that every commercial break.
Oh.
I kind of liked it when they first started playing it at the beginning of the Vancouver Olympics.
Yeah.
But by about day three, I'm like, oh, give it a rest. Come on.
And they never did.
They never did.
Don't you hate hearing a song over and over again?
Light them up. I saw you reaching for it. I preempted you. From Ivan, on the eve of our Senators playing my mistress team, i.e. the Blues, I find myself at a crossroads. I feel that watching hockey is no longer a fun thing to do anymore. I turned on my television for the Sens versus Laughs last Saturday night and was actually getting into the game. Sure, the Sens were only up by one goal, and I was hoping for a blowout of the yard waste, but I was into it. this was going to be the first Sens game I was going to watch all of it for quite some time. And then it happened. A boarding call was missed, a goal was scored, and I tuned out. Literally. Turned off the TV when the celebration started. No replay, no lube, no refund. I don't think I want to watch something that seems to think of me as a mindless idiot who will just keep crawling back because marketing says that this is Canada's game and to not enjoy it is paramount to treason. I feel that the intelligence, whatever you may rate, of everyone watching it was being crapped on during those few seconds. Did the crowd in TO obvious gap at what, sorry, did the crowd in TO's obvious gasp at what had happened only make audible noise on television? Did the ref, standing 16 feet away and staring at the puck, suddenly have a bout of blindness? What the hell happened? I haven't watched NHL hockey since, and I'm still on the fence about the Sens versus Blues tonight. Can you justify my watching hockey? Because I don't think I can anymore. I still don't know who won. I guess I'll find out when I listen to your next show.
52 regional games next year? And we get the Atlantic provinces?
And Newfoundland.
Yeah, he'll be watching.
I hope so. I get it.
Same thing with Nick there.
Yeah, I get it. I'm getting very frustrated with the... I don't want to use the word biased officiating because that makes me sound like an incredible homer and kind of whiny. But
inconsistent.
Inconsistent. If it's not... it's that's a good word because it doesn't seem to be applied consistently.
It's a very fast game.
It is.
And I can see how they miss things.
How did you find the officiating in the Binghamton-Hamilton game on Saturday?
I couldn't pay attention.
Okay.
I was in the glass.
You were very close. I thought it was very, very good. There was stuff that was being let go, but the things that were being called were consistent. You know, if you did this or you did this, it was called on both sides.
Well, Senator's DJ also, because he knew about the bingo tradition of if it's a blown call by the ref or a bad call. Yep. He was ready for it.
I didn't hear that.
Hey, ref, you suck.
There's no bad calls.
And how many refs were on that ice?
One.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And it was one. I was watching this going, there's only one ref. And this game is under control. And if there are penalties called, basically they're warranted.
One ref will miss a lot, though. Because it's all the stuff behind the play that they miss.
But it was at least consistent.
Yes, but four refs will miss even more.
I didn't.
Yeah. Well,
Corsi is terrible.
Two refs seem to miss more than the one did in that game.
I think it's that they wait for the other one to call.
Yeah.
Then they should work out a system. Hey, you know what?
If you see something, call it.
Exactly. And if you don't see it, don't call it.
Whoa.
I'm sorry. Was that an affront? Was I making sense?
That still brings me back to the Chris Phillips puck on or hand on the puck in the.
That he didn't do?
That he didn't do.
And he got penalized for that?
3 years ago. Drove me nuts.
The CC call when it was the guy tripping over his teammate's dick in our last episode?
Yeah.
Didn't happen.
But Ivan, I get it. I'm very frustrated with a lot of this too, but I have to look past that because even if I do get frustrated with it, and some days the easiest way for me to turn down the rage is turn off the TV and turn on the radio.
The play-by-play gets you? Or the caller?
No, it's the I find that it's a better described game on the radio without having to watch all the crap that TV puts on for replays and that sort of thing. Oh. It's just it's lower frustration level. Especially when things are missed and they don't talk about it because we don't talk about that, it's a missed call. The radio guys will because it's even more regional.
It's regional.
It's even more regional.
So that's going to be interesting when
TV less blue like stain.
Well, less Toronto centrism, yes. To be honest. So I turn the radio on.
Podbay's an absolute homer.
He is.
It's hilarious.
But he's also a guy who knows a thing or two about hockey. Potvin has forgotten more about hockey than Glenn Healy or Nick Kiprios will ever know. So is he a homer? Yes. But he's also a pretty damn well-informed one. No. Which is why I like his color stuff. Is he a homer? Yeah. Okay. I'm all right with that. Because he's also pretty damn funny most of the time.
If he means to be or not.
I don't care.
Reminds me of Shredder, because Shredder would always say, I quit NHL.
And then he comes back.
Right back. So it's 3 months in summer. It's like, no, I love you.
Well, just a little break helps. I think that even the Olympic break might help. So when we come
Ivan, back. I think what we all agree on is that we're in an abusive relationship right now. We just keep coming back.
Love, hate?
Because the NHL, he brings us a bouquet of flowers.
It's called the playoffs. Really loves us. Apologizes, says they'll never do it again.
Never do it again.
So, Ivan, I hope you stick around because I want you to come back in the fall. Because we had a lot of fun at that game. I have another email to read. I'm sorry. They're kind of out of order, but I just assigned this one to me, and then, Pan, you're back with the one after that. So this is another quick one. This one's from Homer. It's from Dejected Homer, apparently. Hi, guys. Just like many Sens fans, I am less than impressed with the quality of officiating. This is becoming a theme for tonight's show. How did the NHL not even blink for Kadri's hit from behind on CeCe is beyond me.
Who?
Player 43.
Oh,
I missed the game against the Blues, probably a good thing from what I've heard. You hear that the ref's performance is regularly reviewed, but what is done to rectify bad officiating? The refs that have performed the best during the season are rewarded by officiating playoff games.
Like Tim Peel.
What about the ones who did not perform well? Is not working playoff games the only consequence of bad officiating? The NHL's constant sweeping of problems under the rug as if they never happened is a slap in the face of fans. For a league that is trying all kinds of things to get new fans, they are doing all the kinds of the wrong things to piss off their current fan base, and they just don't seem to give a crap about it. He brings up a very good point. You hear about refs and linesmen retiring. Yeah. I've never heard of one whose contract wasn't renewed. He's suddenly back in the AHL or back in junior or reffing in the ECHL. He makes a really good point.
When Don Van Massenhoven was the head of officiating, he was rotating guys in and out all the time. They'd make a couple mistakes, gone.
Right. We have more. I like that idea. Who's the head of officiating now?
I don't know.
I can't remember. Another retired ref, I'm sure, but.
MLSC. They are sense haters, though. It's a guy with the mustache. I can't remember his name.
Oh, I know who you're talking about because he was in Ottawa for the first round last year. Yes. Or second round. He was in Ottawa being the guy up in the booth.
Oh, yes. Which I don't understand.
Koharski?
Don Koharski? Anyways,
doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But the problem with what Van Massenhoven was doing is he was too quick to pull the trigger to fire people. So when you're getting the best of what's coming in, then you get rid of them right away, they have no opportunity to get better.
So you're getting the second grade people or the third grade people.
Yeah. I think we're getting those people from the WWE, you know, where the officiating's there and they get distracted by something and then the guy comes up behind them when the referee's not looking and slams a chair over the guy's head.
So what we need is the Polarist to be the manager who stands up and distracts the official while Cassian goes out and pummels somebody.
With a chair.
Okay.
Or jumps up on the turnbuckle and whatever.
Yeah. Okay. That could be entertaining. I'd pay to watch that. Sure.
It's pretty much what those stage fights
Homer,
are.
I agree with you. Yeah, it's exactly. The stage fights. Pretty much pretty close to that. I don't know what happens to two officials who are.
You don't hear about it, but then you don't.
That's what the league's going to come to. It's going to be a fight. Ding, 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 ding. They're going to go to center ice, and then there's like four. This ring's going to come down from the ceiling.
A cage match. Right on. Cage match. Sorry. Skate or die.
Sorry, it's a different video game. It's about 25 years ago. Anyway.
Next email is from Chris.
Sorry, go ahead.
Hey, gents, decided to finally email in again, so Pan has more things to read than just Mueller Doctor ramblings, despite how the rest of you enjoy seeing him in pain.
We do.
No, if Mueller Doctor is really a dentist, he obviously enjoys seeing others in pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah! I just don't know how he has a time.
You're posing your hand. I always think you got a sound clip coming there, so I'm not saying anything.
Sorry. Before I get to the Sens-related comments, I have a straight podcast request for you guys. Can you please start tagging your tweets? Wasn't me. Some are easy to figure out who wrote, but others would be really appreciated to know who's the author behind them.
Wait. He wants to know who the author is behind these tweets so he can, like, tune some of them out? That's what I get.
I don't understand. I don't understand the request. I mean, they're from one of the three of us. What does it matter who it's from?
We tend because to double up sometimes.
They know.
Oh, well. So if we get two of exactly the same thing, so what?
Well, it doesn't really matter because we always agree in regards to what we treat out as appropriate.
Yeah.
Reasonably.
Basically, all the awesome tweets are mine.
And all the loquacious ones are mine.
So what does that leave? No.
Uh-oh. I think you and I both just got the look of death.
Oh, now onto the sentence question. Just wanted to get your guys' perspective on why Cassian isn't playing as much anymore in favor of DaCosta. Do you think it's trade bait for Dacko, or is it because McLean is trying to move toughness away from this team? It seems as of late, anyway, that this team hasn't been as physical as it once was, and I'm not sure if it's me or not, but that leads to losses. Like the games versus Toronto, Pittsburgh, and even Tampa. That's a sentence. All right, thanks, Chris. It seems like the era of this league, toughness can win games, just as at the teams from the West. Most of them can physically dominate their Eastern counterparts any day of the week. Now, I'm not condoning we go and get a ton of goons at the deadline, but let's actually get our size guys to use their effing bodies. I know. For a change and win some battles for the puck. I'll leave you at that. Go, Sens, go. Chris at Luedge.
I think Cassian just isn't being played that much because
he's a terrible hockey player.
But he had some good games like 15 games ago where he was getting 5 to 8 minutes a game and he was playing well.
He's steady.
He was playing steady. For what he's asked to do, he was playing steady.
He can't do anything.
He's not being asked to do anything. If he's playing on a fourth line, they're not.
Do something!
Yeah, that's a cliche, but he doesn't have to do something all the time.
The problem is, if you're under five a game, you need guys like, well, they're impossible to get, but like Lucic and Sean Thornton that can also play the game. Chris Neal.
You mean Chris Neal, except bigger?
Bigger, yep.
But they don't grow on trees.
I would rather have DeCosta than Cassian.
I think Cassian has a time and place, and there are certain
Could
games.
You say that again?
I'd rather have DeCosta than Cassian. I have no problem in saying that.
I've never heard you say, Cassian, get off my team. He doesn't play.
Yeah. You have to have those guys. He's a really good teammate to have around, I think, in practice and other things like that.
And I think there are certain games where having him there is useful, but I think that Paul McLean is afraid to play him. And that's what I don't get. If you're going to put him on, if you're going to dress him, play him. You don't have to give him 15 minutes.
Watch him when he's out there.
Yeah, but weren't you the guy that says if Cassian doesn't play, Neil acts like an idiot?
I think that's stopped. I don't know what it is. Neil hasn't been an idiot since November.
No.
I think if Cassian is going to be dressed, he needs to play not a regular shift. He's a fourth liner. Throw him out there for 6, 7, 8 minutes a night.
Cassian's going to be like Konopka if we make it to the playoffs. You watch. We hated Konopka during the season.
Except Konopka won a crap load of faceoffs in the playoffs. He was at 65%?
He was fantastic. Yeah,
he's going to reel the faceoff circle in the playoffs, and he's going to go like this. Duke's up here.
You want a goal?
You know, you gonna let me win this face off or no? No? Okay, thanks.
Yeah. We have lots of people who can win face offs, and I agree that's what Konopka was very good at. If Cassian's going to be dressed, I just think he needs to be played because otherwise it also affects the other three lines by trying to put somebody in to let the other two guys on that line play.
When he's playing a minute and a half, it kills everybody else.
Exactly.
Especially in a fast tempo game.
Exactly. That's why he should be playing 6 or 7 or 8 minutes a game. Because that's all the rest of the fourth line is going to play except for penalty kill and power play. Or
what happened?
Do you assume that he's going to play in Calgary?
Against McGrattan, possibly, yeah.
Watch him when he's on the ice.
I have been.
Just focus on it more.
Not at the expense of somebody else, no. I'm not going to only look at one player.
For the 3 minutes of ice time that he has, watch where he is, if you can even get him in the screen.
Okay, just, but I'm also watching what the rest of the team is doing around him.
Right, but I'm just asking you to pay attention to him next time he's in.
I'll try, if I remember. Next.
Oh.
Last email of the night. Canuck, are you ready?
Yeah.
It's a long one.
An email from Boingy. And I'm going to apologize right up front, Boingy. I'm going to put your email in the forums because it's quite long and it's rather factoid.
Almost spreadsheet-ish.
Yes. And it's a good one.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
But it won't read well, so I'm going to shorten it for the reading part. Hey, guys, just listened to episode 19 and another great job, gents. I know I've said this before, but thens so much for being the lifeline for Sens fans trapped here in the yard waste land. By the way, I missed the Red Scarf Union's GTA get-together at Grace O'Malley's because I listened to one podcast too late. But I joined their Facebook page. Here's hoping they do another one. So I decided to email the show for a very specific reason, and wonky reason at that. You guys had a brief conversation about the Phoenix Coyotes changing their name to the Arizona Coyotes. You bantered a bit how they don't play in Phoenix proper anyway, and how many teams are named after states or provinces as opposed to cities, and so on. So it got me thinking, just how many sports teams are named after cities, provinces, states, etc.? And here's the part we're going to post in the forums, but basically in this short form is take a look at all the major leagues. The vast majority of teams, 124 out of 152 teams, are named after cities. And then it goes on to break it down as to which teams actually are named in their cities or named after the states. And the bottom line is that most are named after the cities. Pretty good analysis here, Boingy. I will make sure I post this in the forum so people can read it because you did a lot of research here. And then he ends with, so there you go. The fact that the Coyotes had Phoenix in their name, even though they didn't actually play in the city, isn't that weird at all. In the wider context of sports, there are plenty of precedents for this. And yes, I'm a nerd, so there. Cheers and keep up the great work, Boingy.
Very true. And thank you for telling me where the Golden State Warriors play. I had no California. Idea. Well, I didn't know what Golden State was for. It's the nickname for California. I've always wondered about that.
I thought it was McDonald's.
That's the Golden Arches Warriors.
Oh, that's St. Louis.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for emailing to us. Appreciate it. We haven't been around in a little while, so some of these were not necessarily the newest email in the round, but they were certainly good talking points. Guys, was there anything else you wanted to talk about tonight? I want to wrap this show up if there's nothing else, because it's getting late.
I almost got the chance to see Labrew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Do tell.
Well, if you didn't deduce by the introduction, I was, and the fact we didn't have an episode last week, I was actually in Europe, over in Belgium, about an hour and a half away from where Labrew lives.
Oh.
And I did email him. It was very last minute. I mean, the fact I was over there was very last minute, mm-hmm. too. So timing didn't quite work out. It was just too bad. Maybe next time I'll get a chance to share a Belgian beer with him. But
or more.
Very close to that.
That's too bad. Ben, you got anything else?
Puddle Duck is texting me. Sorry.
Oh, is it good? Or is it worth anything? No? Okay, good. No. All right. The week to come, there's no NHL hockey for the next couple of weeks, so I'm not talking about...
Yay, leave me alone.
There are no games coming up for us to talk about, so we're...
Get out of my house!
We're going to be out of Pan's basement for a couple of weeks, and we'll be off the airways for a couple of weeks. We'll be back in early March-ish. Ish.
Ish.
I'm not sure when exactly.
Yeah, we've got the Western Conference.
Exactly. We're going to be out west because we've got Calgary, Edmonton out there. That's where we come back, I think.
We've got Detroit here. On Thursday the 27th.
All right.
Then the Heritage game.
So we go from here to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
All right. For the indoor-outdoor
Thursday
game.
To Sunday for the indoor-outdoor
That's
game.
Not bad.
It's 4 p.m. start though, so luckily.
So it's a 1 o'clock, a 4. So that's 7 o'clock
four
hour
o'clock
time.
Here.
Oh, no, 4 o'clock here.
Here. So 1 o'clock.
Damn. Another afternoon game.
That's horrible.
And I'm going to say Oilers and Flames. Based on the way that our schedules are looking, probably the Jets game and maybe after the Jets game. I don't know.
We'll have to see. So we're not sure when we'll be back. So we apologize for not being here last week, but Canuck was away and It's a little hard to do a recording when somebody's on the other side of the Atlantic.
I finally cleaned up the
yes, you finally cleaned up that thread. That's
took me 2 hours.
But I noticed you cleaned it up again right after the last game, so that it's back down to only a few.
Yeah, I know.
Well done. Well done. Folks, you can email us at podcast@sendscallups.com. You can follow us on Twitter. You can visit the forums for the prediction panel at sendsunderground.com. We'll be back in a few weeks. We're going to take a few weeks off, from just like the NHL is. In the meantime, go Team Canada. And there's a little cheer for Team Sweden if Canada doesn't make it to the gold game. Because, well, they're my mistress team if Team Canada doesn't make it there.
That's because you still love Alfredson.
No, it's because Sarah Carlson's on. Meantime, good night, everybody.
We'll take a few weeks off like the refs always do.
He misses that.